English language needs a better, like, a word like millionaire that actually encapsulates someone this wealthy.
Bastard. Welcome to Love It or Weave It, where we let you know if we love an anime enough to recommend it to everyone or if it's just for the worst of the weebs. I'm Annie, and I hate the rich.
I'm Jeff, and I love money, apparently. If you're new to this podcast, each week we watch the first three episodes of a new anime and cast our votes to Love It or Weave It. Today, we're covering Millionaire Detective Balance Unlimited, which is available subbed on Funimation now. Before we get into that, Annie, what other anime have you been watching?
Okay, I won't lie to you. I fell back into rewatching Haikyuu.
I'm glad I mainly do this segment every week just to like make you feel guilty that you have to do something that's not BTS in your life. So if it's Haikyuu, that's better than it being BTS. So
listen, I can love more than one thing at one time.
The way you act about BTS, I wonder sometimes.
I can simp for a boy group and also simp for Haikyuu.
Well, simping for boy groups, we'll get into this episode some more. So you're watching Haikyuu?
Yes.
Like the new season or starting from the original?
I started from the beginning. I'm on season 3 now.
Which is the new? No.
Season four is the new one. I'm almost caught up again.
I haven't been watching the new season, so I need to catch up.
Have you watched anything?
Like outside of Haikyuu or any of the new season of Haikyuu?
No, just anything in general, anime-wise.
Yeah, so I started... So there's one of the big anime of the last couple of years came back this season, ReZero, and I tried to start season two this week, and it's hard to get back into. It's been a while since the first season.
So you also like to suffer, huh?
Are you saying that because ReZero is about a show about suffering, or are you saying it's a bad show?
Well, both.
I think it's an interesting show in general, but like it's been too long, and there are some details. Like I don't think you need to know all the details to understand what's going on, but like definitely the emotional weight is kind of hurt when I'm like, when they're like, this bad thing that happened is just like this other bad thing that happened, and I'm like, oh, did that happen? I don't remember that, huh?
Also, so many bad things happened. You don't know what timeline you're on anymore.
Right. Like I started watching like a recap video a couple weeks ago that was talking about this like scenario that I guess happened towards the end of the first half of the show of the first season. And I was like, wait, that character was trying to murder the main character? I thought that character loved that character. I'm so confused. There was a point where she was trying to murder him? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How does she go from wanting to murder him to like absolutely loving him?
Different timeline.
What?
Yeah.
So she like decides to murder him and decides to love him like within this span of a couple of days? In either timeline?
Yeah, well, he died and then he came back and then she liked this version of him and she doesn't remember the other ones because she wasn't there.
But I'm just like, that seems like the kind of thing that we're like, you shouldn't be driven to murder and or loving someone absolutely within the span of a couple days.
Okay, well, he was acting sus in one of the timelines.
So I don't know. I'm going to keep with it, but it definitely feels like if I wanted to get a lot out of the season, I probably should start over and rewatch everything.
You could watch the director's cut.
Especially if you try and load up the series on Verve, it's like, there's like five different seasons because, I don't know, it's been split up weirdly and there's like, I guess that director's cut or like a re-airing or something. But anyway, since I don't care that much, I'm just going to keep watching and be confused. And I've heard this new season gets pretty interesting stuff, so.
Well, you tell me about it because I'm not going to watch it.
I'm just confused because so the first episode starts with Rem, no one remembering Rem. And I'm sus because I'm like, but then why do some characters remember Rem and most of them don't? And then Subaru's like, oh yeah, this is just like the other time that no one remembered Rem. And I'm like, that happened? What?
Oh, I don't remember that either.
Like apparently it's a meme, like who's Rem is a meme. And I was confused because I'm like, how is that a meme if it only just happened in the new season? And it's like, no, it's a meme because it happened years ago in the first season.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of that show.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on to a new one.
Moving on to a new show. Moving on to a show that's not about time loops. It's about money loops.
I know. I couldn't think of a joke either. I was going to say time poops, but that doesn't make sense. Time poops. That's the only thing that came to mind.
Thank you for redeeming me by making such a bad joke.
It was the first thing that popped in my head. I was like, keep that inside. Don't say that.
Yes, keep the time poop inside. Yes. Until you find a time toilet.
I was like, workshop this boy. Better joke. Come up.
Okay. So this week we're covering Millionaire Detective Balance Unlimited. So I picked the show. It's based on a 1970s classic piece of literature. that has been remade into different types of media multiple times. And I thought this would play out better in my head because I'm not talking about Japan Sinks. I'm talking about Millionaire Detective.
Okay, I see what you're doing. It took me, like, what's he doing? Reel it in.
I don't know why I was doing it because there's the only two points of similarity. And otherwise, these are very, very different shows. Anyway, Millionaire Detective, it's about a hot detective who has lots of money and just throws money in problems. I don't know if the original story is like this too, but this version is basically James Bond plus a little bit of Sherlock Holmes, but not really. It's more like James Bond plus
almost Iron Man-esque.
Yeah, it's James Bond plus Batman with a little bit of Iron Man, just like billionaire who can throw money at every problem to solve things.
Yeah.
But apparently, I didn't realize this until looking things up afterwards, but the show does have some interesting staff in that it is the reunion of the director, series composition writer, and character design artist from Erased, which is pretty cool. That was a very good show.
Oh, I liked that.
Yeah. Although, if you call it Erased, you're not a real fan. Everyone knows it's Boku no Hero Naimachi.
I'm going to throw you in the ocean.
Oh, sorry. This isn't Millionaire Detective. This is Fugokaichi. Anyway, okay, on the count of three, let's do a verdict.
Oh, God. Okay.
One, two, three.
Weebed it.
I didn't say one because I wasn't sure.
Oh, my God. Okay, mine's a reluctant weeb it.
Okay, I was completely divided, like right on the precipice.
All right. Can I tell you why it's a weeb it for it leaned weeb it to me over love it?
No, you have to pay me.
Okay, well, I'm doing it anyways. So, first things first, it says Millionaire Detective.
Oh, boy.
Right. His balance is unlimited. He has unlimited money. He's not just a millionaire. He's a bajillionaire. And we need to kill and eat the rich.
So, this is what you meant by your complaints were going to be semantics.
Yes.
Right?
Like,
I was worried based on the title because I was like, if he's literally a millionaire, that's not that much money.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to do anything.
He could buy like what?
In this
like
economy?
A third of a house in San Francisco? Like,
I feel like there's a negative connotation with billionaires now though. So that wouldn't have been nice. So maybe that's why they went with millionaire.
Yeah, it's one of the weird, I mean, also when we're talking about like millionaire, are we talking about like millionaire in terms of US dollars versus yen? Like having a million yen is even less. Right. So if you're converting yen to dollars, so a million is 6 euros. So a million yen is roughly 4 zeros. A million yen is $10,000. Like it's not, being a millionaire in terms of yen is nothing. So the Japanese title is Fugokaiji, and it just means like the term Fugo. Keiji means like, I think just detective. But Fugo just means, it's like, it means a rich person, but it can also be translated as millionaire. So it means either wealthy person or millionaire.
They should have just made it wealthy detective. I would have laughed really hard.
I mean, yeah, wealthy cop boy doesn't really have the same ring to it, does it?
No. And so here's two things I hate: rich people and cops. So I didn't realize.
But
what?
What if you take a rich person and a cop, but make them hot? That's the premise of the show.
Okay. I already said first things first. Second things second. That opening has a lot of sexual tension.
Between who and who?
Okay. So you know how there's like a bunch of like ladies that are like in their underwear and stuff?
You're talking about My Life or the opening?
The opening. Right. But in the opening, and I was like, none of this is sexual at all to me. The most sexual part of that opening was when he was like pulling on his tie and like the camera pans up. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, the camera is very horny for him in that opening.
Yeah, like his like lingers on his like gaze. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? And then the show's not as sexual as I thought it would be from the opening.
I mean, it definitely the number one appeal for the show of the the number one appeal of the show is how hot he is. And that song I had heard everything. I mean, we should explain that, like, in case you weren't following the last season of anime, this was initially something that we picked for last season, and it got COVID delayed after two episodes, and we pushed it back to this season. And so there was a lot of chatter on Twitter when those first two episodes came out, and the chatter completely died down. And I've seen some people talking about it again now that episodes 3+ have continued airing, but not as much. And that hype I had seen about episodes 1 and 2 about how hot he was, it kind of lived up to that hype, but not like...
Well, the other day, I think when episode 4 or 5 came out, Daisuke was trending because his hair got wet. Spoilers for, I guess, the future. But like, there's people just posting pictures of him with like his hair down. And I was like, wow, are we really all that horny for Daisuke?
Okay, I didn't see that. But yeah, I feel like he is hot, but I don't know if he's hot enough to really get over that barrier if you are extremely opposed to rich people and cop people. And
yeah, he also doesn't have enough of a personality for me.
Yeah, he's, and like what personality he does have often is just asshole.
Yeah, which is kind of fun, but
at the end of the first episode when he just like doesn't lift up the guy and lets him fall off the bridge, and I'm like, the hell?
Oh, are we spoiling things?
I don't think the show really has like huge twists that we need to.
Someone falls off a bridge and dies, and you don't. No, just...
Yeah, no, I was like, as it was happening, I was like, is this the kind of thing that would be dire enough that someone would die from? Well, the show is not treating it like it, so I guess no.
Yeah, well, I guess those are my main reasons for not wanting to love it. It's propaganda, I hate rich people, and Daisuke doesn't have much of a personality.
I have much more complicated feelings about classifying as propaganda since it's not about American cops.
That's true.
Like, I don't know enough about the Japanese policing system to know if it has the same problems as propaganda does in the US. Because I definitely have heard really bad things about Japanese police system, but I don't know if it's quite as like tied to media being used to teach the people that cops have a different role than they actually do, or like that they're all the heroes, that they're justified in using extreme tactics. And like, the show is weird in how it, like, there's lots of stuff that Daisuke does as a cop in the name of the law that is being an asshole to people, which normally, yes, I'd be like, this is gross. And like I'm thinking about in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, there are lots of things that, what's the main character's name? What's Andy Samberg's?
Jake Peralta.
Yeah, Jake Peralta. There are lots of things that Jake does that are like defying protocol, but in the name of catching the bad guy in the end. And it like teaches you that like, oh, actually cops resisting protocol is a good thing. And it normalizes the idea that cops should be
able to do whatever they want.
Right. Because in the show itself, it turned out to be a good thing. And you're like, oh, I guess they should be able to do whatever they want. When in reality, most of the time cops do whatever they want. It's not necessarily a good thing. But in this show, it's like, first of all, I don't know if Japan has the same kinds of problems. And also, like, when he does bad things to people, he also then pays them double. So, but I also feel like that's really just like a joke. It's just like, oh, he does shitty things and then is like, and here you get repaid.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of a joke, but it's also like the same thing of like rich people, there's no laws for rich people because they can, yeah, just buy their way out of it. And I was like, every time he did something bad, I was like, it's making it real hard for me to like you, buddy.
It's basically the joke from Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged of like Kaiba saying, screw the rules. What is it? Screw the rules, I have money?
I don't know. Like,
you weren't a Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged fan? Wow.
I'm sorry I let you down.
It's like that joke is funny when it's about like Kaiba and you're like not following Kaiba as the main character. I don't know. I think it's fun enough to get over those concerns for myself personally, but I do have hesitation to recommend to people on those grounds.
Yeah. Well, I was having a hard time getting into it just because I disagree so heavily with Haru, which is the main character, right?
I mean, he's not the titular character.
Yeah, but like he's the one we're following for the most of it. And he's just so annoying. He's like, we gotta follow the rules. I'm like, okay, nerd. Like, great, follow the rules.
I just didn't. What I find frustrating about him is just the how much of an asshole Daisuke is to him, and like the not being explained, or like there's also some reason like Daisuke chose to be in that division, right? Like he was police chief, whatever. He was like, I could put you in the first division. He was like, no, I don't. I want to go in this one. So I'm like, I assume there's a reason why Daisuke cares about Haru in particular.
Knew his whole backstory too. He was like, I heard that you couldn't fire a gun anymore after you killed somebody, basically. And he's like, how did you know that? And then they never explain it.
Well, because he has an AI in his glasses that can show him anything. I didn't really question how he knew it.
Yeah, he has Jarvis.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, the AI in the glasses is very Iron Man, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like basically the same thing.
I said those things make me hesitant to recommend it to people, but really the thing that makes me hesitant to recommend it is, or that makes me the most hesitant to recommend it, is just that it's not really ever superlatively great in any way, yeah, to offset those things. Like the first episode, I expected this like extremely fun, action-packed, bombastic thing. And instead it was kind of like, I feel like when I look back on it, the most action there was when Daisuke is just like ramming into a bunch of expensive cars.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was a very awkward scene because it's like, what is going on? And why is this happening? Why is this annoying noise being repeated? And then like when he like pushes a car up a bridge, it was like such a I mean, pushes a cart up a bridge's opening for boats to pass through. It was just so unrealistic and so bizarre that I was like, is this really happening? This is silly. And not in a like funny kind of way, more in a like, are we applying this like child's level logic to this real scenario?
Yeah, I didn't. That was one of the problems I had. I didn't have any moment where I was like, this is great. Or I'm like, I'm having a lot of fun. It was just like, I guess it's fine. I'll watch. It's very okay. It's not bad. It's not bad. And it's not good either. It's just okay.
It's very mid.
Yes, very mid.
More like the Midionaire detective.
Oof. All right. Well, wait, I want to say a thing, but I can't because it's a spoiler, I guess.
Are there really events in these three episodes you think are like worth protecting people from spoilers for?
It's not worth protecting people for, but if they didn't want to hear it, I'm going to let them know that I'm about to say stuff that happens in the show.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I don't think this is the kind of show that has events that like...
There's no twist, everybody, unless there is later, and then we didn't see it.
We did not see a huge twist. But if you are being very puritanical, then skip ahead a few minutes before Annie drops this bombshell.
Yes. Okay, so bombshell being dropped. So on the third episode, I believe, it's the third episode, where there's the kid on the train, and it turns out that the kid on the train is only holding people hostage so he can get money for his sister to get surgery. And then Daisuke was like, don't worry, I'll get her the surgery. And I was like, you have unlimited money and people are dying every day because they don't have money to get the surgery or medicine or something they need. You suck, dude. Make sure everybody gets the surgery. It made me so angry.
I mean, not to defend the rich.
He has unlimited balance.
I don't think we're supposed to take those words literally.
They say, he's like, your balance, it's unlimited. I'm like, thanks, okay. Jarvis. Like,
he's not like, there's no real word, like, he just has a ton of money. I don't think it's literally infinite.
What am I supposed to think when it says unlimited?
That it's so big, it's basically unlimited.
He could end world hunger, but he doesn't.
Do you want me to like email Funimation and tell them like, could you please rename the title Midionaire Detective Balance? Really big, so big it's basically unlimited.
Okay, well, even if that's the case, it's so big, he could end world hunger and make sure that every sick child gets care, but he doesn't because he sucks, because he'd rather be fucking Batman and fly around with a helicopter and shoot rockets out of his car.
So I think it's the kind of premise that it's not supposed to be given much scrutiny. Like, it falls apart with any scrutiny. Because it's just supposed to be a fun time, but it's like, it's kind of hard to not apply any kind of scrutiny when the subject of it is a guy who's an asshole.
Is it fun when I'm poor?
And, you know, like, the current political climate makes us so predisposed to hate rich people and to hate cop people. And so it's like, there aren't many things working in this favor, in the show's favor, but I don't know.
I don't like watching rich people do dumb shit instead of actually helping other people.
Yeah, and especially when it's like, this rich person doesn't have a heart and is mean to people, but then he spends money in flashy ways, and it's like, okay, this is fun, but my favorite part about the episodes is how it puts like the receipt at the end of the episode and shows you everything he spent money on, and it's fun to just see like how absurd the costs are.
Yeah.
Although it's a little frustrating that I don't think those are ever translated in the Funimation subtitles.
No, they're not, so I can't see what they are.
Well, they are simple enough Japanese that I can read most of them. So that's all that matters from my experience. I don't care about other people.
Enjoy then, pal.
I liked how the third episode was, so we're gonna talk about more specifics about the third episode in case you don't want to hear about specifics, but the tone was very weird with the like the fact that it was this high stakes hostage environment, and yet the like people in the train were like on their way to an idol concert and were just like so excited with the idol concert that eventually they were like, we don't care if we die, we just want to see the performance one last time.
That's me as hell, dude. Okay. I was actually I was watching that scene and I was I was like, if, because they said there was their farewell concert, and I was like, they were like, I'd rather die if I can't make it to their farewell concert. And I was like, you know what, low key, I feel you, ladies.
I guess like if it were supposed to be a idol group like on the level of BTS, then yes, I could see people being that extreme. Like if it was the final BTS concert, then yes, people would be that crazy.
Yes. But like, it took them a while to get to that point, you know?
Yeah. But what I thought was funny was that, like, it listed the cost of paying them to do an impromptu performance on the side of a building. And it was, like, something like $40 million US dollars. But the cost of getting all the records of, like, the images and photos of that, of the YouTube video removed from the internet was twice that much money. And I was like, that's realistic. Because that's, like, Rip. So absurd a thing that, like, he would have had to, like, basically bribe YouTube. That is,
he has unlimited money. He can bribe YouTube.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's the kind of thing that, like, sounds so unrealistic. It's like, okay, I guess how much money would you need? I guess maybe it had to be some extremely large sum to be something that's, like, even bigger than paying a boy idol group to perform a concert in the span of a couple seconds.
That was insane. He was like, oh, they want to see a group. Let me just helicopter them in real quick in 10 seconds, it felt like.
So it was actually $4 million US dollars and $8 million US dollars.
Oh my God.
Not 40 or 80, which seems low.
I don't know how things work. I don't have enough money for those to be real problems for me, you know?
Yeah.
I just hate rich people so much. And I didn't foresee this being so big of a deal for me, but it is.
Yeah, the English language needs, on a totally separate note, the English language needs a better, like, a word like millionaire that actually encapsulates someone this wealthy, you know, like.
Bastard.
No, that's because he's a cop.
So he's a double bastard. I don't know.
Double bastard. Oh, looking through the staff of the show to see if there's anything interesting worth noting. I mean, I think in general, the show felt very well animated.
Yeah, there was a couple scenes where I was like, okay, but it was fine.
Yeah. And it's from Studio Cloverworks, who did a bunch of, like, decent shows, I would say. None that are like, oh my God, that's amazing, but, like, all that are, like, pretty good. Darling the Franks is,
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it either, but, like, it was animated well. Rascal Is Not Dreaming of Bunny Girl Senpai, Promise Neverland, the Fate Grand Order Babylonia series, all things that animated pretty well.
Okay, can I tell you that it cracked me up every time? I think it was in the opening. I don't know if it was in the actual show, but his car's license plate said money. And I was like, I hate this dude for reals.
I love that.
And the opening felt like I was, like, supposed to be at a rave. I was like, okay.
Like, I have to guiltily admit that when I was watching the third episode, so the third time I heard the opening, I actually, like, danced along to it.
Yeah.
It's a really good opening.
It's pretty lit. And, like, I don't care for the ending as much, but, like.
No, the ending is really dull.
Yeah. But, like, the opening, I was like, okay, let's get hype. And then it got, like, really sexy. And I was like, oh, all right, that's where we're going.
The actual composer for the background music in the show is somewhat prolific. Like, they did music for Batman Ninja, a bunch of seasons of, actually, wait, most of the good seasons of JoJo's and Psycho Pass. But, like, I feel like the music in the show itself was just, like, that, like, one tune that was just, like, wow, crazy stuff is happening right now. Kind of, like, James Bond-esque music, as I recall.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't stand out to me, so I just kind of ignored it.
I don't remember having positive connotations from it. I was just like, okay, this music is serving its purpose of telling me that this is a, like, loud moment, but it's not very good. Annie.
Hi.
I have a one-way ticket on the Shinkansen.
Two.
You are sitting next to me on this train that we're going on.
Am I about to live stream me holding hostages?
Yes, you are. I'm your hostage. You're live streaming me. But do you know the destination of this ticket? It's the Seiyu Sidebar.
Are you bringing us to the Seiyu Sidebar?
Well, I mean, you're the one holding me hostage on a live stream on the internet.
Oh, are you telling me to tell people about the voice
No. actors? No, I had things. Okay, so I want to send you a link to. Okay, so the voice actor. Sorry, the Seiyu. The titular Seiyu from the Seiyu Sidebar of Kamba, of Daisuke. Is apparently someone, this is their first role, Yusuke Onuki.
Yeah, he's an actor.
Oh, is that why? Is that why he's so hot?
Yeah, he's like a dancer and an actor. I don't really know what he's been in, but I think he's been in some dramas.
I just love that the profile photo on Anime News Network Encyclopedia for him is, like, shirts open.
Mm. Oh my God. Is that okay? Did you look up the voice actors just to see if they were hot?
Not just to. I mainly looked up if they had been in Granblue Fantasy and or Digimon for each one.
I can't believe this.
But then this guy was also hot, so. I was just curious if he was as hot as his character.
The answer is yes.
And maybe more so, because he's
real?
He's not unlimited money, and he's not a cop.
That's true.
and real, sure. But the other interesting voice actor that I noted down was the relative, the mechanic lady, who
yes.
was pretty cool. We only got, like, a brief glimpse of her. Apparently, she's supposed to be, like, a genius mechanic,
yes.
which is a pretty cool role. But she is voiced by Maya Sakamoto.
Yeah, she's Haruhi from Ouran.
Oh, yeah. I kind of struggle when, like, thinking through who to bring up when bringing up, because I'm like, she's so famous and iconic that it's like she's not defined by any one role.
Yeah, she's done a lot.
Yeah.
Actually, I said Haruhi, but I feel like Kusanagi from Ghost in the Shell is probably more popular.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing I mainly think of when I think of her, because it's where I've seen her name the most, is in music, actually, because she did the opening to Escaflowne and also played the main character, Escaflowne. And that's a banger of an opening. And she did the best opening of Cardcaptor Sakura, and she did a bunch of songs for Razaphon that are all amazing. So, yeah. She has great music.
Queen shit.
She was Lightning and Aerith in Final Fantasy. So, like, it's basically, like, been forever in Final Fantasy remakes and various games for decades. She's Jeanne d'Arc and Jeanne Alter in Fate Grand Order. So
see, now I see why you brought her up. I can see now.
And she was in Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth as Kyoko, the hot detective lady.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say another fault of this show is there's not enough of this character.
That's true. Hopefully we see more of her later.
Because she seemed cool as hell. Is there anyone else that you were going to bring into the Seiyu sidebar? Is it just them?
No. It was just Mai Sakamoto.
You're not going to talk about Miyano Mamoru being Haru?
No, I didn't notice that. Everyone else, I just looked up who they were in Digimon or Grand Blue Fantasy. Oh, I didn't even mention my favorite Mai Sakamoto role, I think, is in Recreators. She plays... You haven't seen any Recreators, right?
Because it was an Amazon joke. Yeah.
The concept of Recreators, right, is a bunch of different characters from otaku fiction come to life. And, like, it's not using real-life properties, but it is basically, like, you can, you know, it's like, okay, this is a Precure-esque magical shoujo anime thing. This is a JoJo's equivalent. This is a light novel. And so the character she plays is called Magane, and she is from a light novel that I think is, or a, I don't know if it's a light novel or a visual novel, but it's supposed to be a character who looks like a sweet, innocent schoolgirl who murders her entire class in school. And so she, like, is, like, has... Like, is animated really, I don't want to, like, stigmatize mental illness, but, like, is very, like, off the walls and is, like,
right,
very interesting. And the voice work is very cool because she really sells it. And it's just very interesting to hear her say anything. So she has range.
Okay. I cannot tell you how little I don't care about that series.
You're just tempting me to pick it. It's good. It's so good.
I'm sorry. I just have no interest. Is it still an Amazon jail?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like a separate subscription anymore.
That's so, true. Like, it's not on whatever that was, like Super Mario Strikers, whatever.
Yes. Amazon Prime Anime Super Mario Strikers.
That's what it reminded me of. I can't remember the actual title.
Anime Strike?
Oh, yeah. Okay. See, that's why I thought of Super Mario Strikers. Which also, bring that game back. Can I have it on Switch?
No.
That would be so much fun.
I'm saying no.
Nintendo, hear my pleas. Anyways, back to Millionaire Detective.
I think you mean Midgenaire Detective.
Okay, I'm not saying the thing that you said. But Jeff, I hate rich people. There was like a couple. Okay, were there funny moments? Like, what made us like on the fence so much? We have to talk about positives. Is it just the opening? Did we like really like the opening?
The opening does a lot to sell it. I think it is. It felt fun to watch. I think the first episode is the worst. I feel like the first episode was the most like not actually like the crime is being investigated wasn't that interesting and
yeah,
wasn't that fun.
Okay, yeah, I agree. It like. Some of it wasn't very fun. I kind of liked their stakeout thing. And as much as I don't care for rich people, Daisuke eating the cup noodles for the first time, and he's like, this is good. They're like, you've never had this? Like, that was funny for me.
Wait, I was actually very confused by the cup noodles because they're just eating random cup noodles from like a convenience store, right?
Yeah.
But then in the expense report at the end of the episode, there was an item for like $1,000. So like 100,000 yen that mentioned like special order cup noodles. So I guess he like after tasting them off screen went and bought
he just special bought order as, cup noodles. As many as he could.
Well, I don't know if it said like, I don't know that the term was like special order. I don't know if that meant like ordering a bunch of a normal thing or like he like had special cup orders.
He gets it with like caviar and shit.
Yeah, like some kind of special version. Maybe it was just 1,000 of the normal cup noodles.
It's literally 999 cup noodles and then like the tax. I thought that was funny.
I mean, okay, he's hot. That's the biggest plus.
Yes.
And it's fun for this type of like police procedural.
Okay, you know what I'm thinking about it and what I enjoyed the most is I liked Haru being flustered and for some reason Daisuke was like interested in him and like flew him out to Hong Kong with him. And
I was very confused what the whole Hong Kong thing was because like episode 2 ends with them going to Hong Kong for a conference thing. And then I thought they were going to show it in some way. And then episode 3 starts with them just being back from Hong Kong. And it's like, okay, that happened.
He just wanted a vacation with his BF.
I guess.
I feel like he loves him, you know?
maybe.
He wants to take care of him.
So episode 3, like, why are they going to Daisuke's grandmother's place?
So he can introduce him to his boyfriend. Like, I don't think you understand that they're in love. I feel like, because there's all these weird moments, like, he definitely loves him. There's no other explanation. Oh, and he trusts him completely.
I also found Haru's backstory fairly confusing. Like, he was supposed to be kicked from the first division because this is the closest thing that approaches the spoiler, but, like, I don't think it really matters. He was supposed to be kicked from the first division because he shot someone in the line of duty that he wasn't supposed to, but then we see the scene, and I was very confused what actually happened.
No, he resigned from the first division, I think.
I thought he was forced out.
Well, it's not that he shot someone he wasn't supposed to. He shot them, like, critically, and that freaked him out.
Oh.
Like, he didn't mean to wound the second person he shot so much.
But they were both, it was like a bank robbery, right? They were both in on, like, both people he shot were the perpetrators, right?
I'm not clear on that. The first guy looked like for sure, but then the second person picked up the gun and, like, aimed it, and at first I was like, oh, they're not involved in this. I don't understand why they're aiming the gun at him. But
yeah, that's what I was confused by. Like, it looked like he shot the robber and then the bank teller picked up the gun to shoot him back. I'm like, what? Why? Huh?
Yeah, it was very confusing, and I'm sure they'll go over it later, but I don't know if I have the patience to get there.
I see. I wasn't sure if they were gonna bring it. Like, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be confused and it's, like, supposed to be a mystery still, or if it was like, that was the explanation. You're a dummy, Jeff, for not getting it.
No, it just wasn't explained very well, but sure, he couldn't fire a gun again. And I'm, like, trying to figure out, because that was the moment, and I was like, well, is this propaganda? Or, like, what is it? Because he feels remorse over shooting someone critically. And that's not a thing here, really. Like, if a cop kills somebody because they were, like, in the way, more or less here, it's like, well, they did what they had to do, moving on. And I'm, like, trying to reconcile if this is, like, a bad thing, you know?
Yeah, because it is, like, even if the same scenario were taking place in America, I think there'd be aspects to it that were, like, by getting us to sympathize with his plight, it kind of implies that all cops go through this, and I assume that the narrative arc by the end will be that he, like, gets over that. So, yeah, definitely, if this were an American context, I would find that very uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I don't know. But he did something you would never do here, and he resigned, kind of, and went to a different department or division. I don't know.
I thought some character mentioned that he'd been kicked out. I thought they were like, maybe he'd been kicked out because he chose, like, he was like, I can't fire a gun anymore, maybe.
That's what I was thinking, but I also was like, this guy is such a boner for danger.
That's the weirdest way of putting it, but sure.
Like,
they flashback, like, to him, like, when he was in the first division, just, like, jumping from building to building. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, this guy has a death wish, and he just, like, loves the adrenaline rush because he saw, like, the first division running, and he was like, what do we got, guys? And they're just like, it's none of your business. And he, like, takes the speaker, and he's like, a bomb? I'm on it. And it's like, bro, like, you need to go sit down.
I guess it's those interactions with the first division in the first episode that made me, I would find that very weird if he had chosen to leave on purpose, because it seemed like he was, like, anxious to join them and, like, be a part of them, kind of, or, like...
Yeah, he seemed irritated that he wasn't allowed to, like, help.
Right, which for someone who volunteered to leave that position would be very odd. Well, so either you're wrong or the show is very confusing.
Wouldn't be the first time that I was wrong, but...
Someone in this situation is wrong.
It's probably me, but...
It's not me.
Don't know about that. But yeah, it's very confusing. I wish I liked Haru more. I wish I liked Daisuke more. They're cute.
I wish a character who showed up so low we didn't even know her name, Suzue, showed up more.
Yeah, and I don't know how she's related to Daisuke.
I was also confused by the Haru's, like, coworker that his, like, even according to the description on Wikipedia, it's like their only shtick is that they have the hots for this lady on the security team or whatever.
Yeah, guy.
And when they showed her, like, I mean, they're all anime characters. She looks so much older because she just had, like, a wrinkle on her near her eyes. Oh. But I was like, that's definitely, like, usually coding for someone who's, like, 40 plus.
Yeah.
I was very confused. Like, is he attracted to this old lady?
Well, maybe he's old too. Who knows? I don't know.
I was surprised that Haru is supposed to be 30. I was like, whoa, he's going to be turning 30 that year. But I was like, whoa, that's too old for an anime character.
No, it's perfect. He's finally finding love at this age. I've been only consuming media about people falling in love in their 30s recently, besides Haikyuu, but there's no love there. So
you're saying you have not or have?
I've only been consuming. I'm over stories about high schoolers. And so I was like, we got to skip college stories and go straight into being in your 30s.
Yeah, like the entire premise of Tokyo Tower Aruba Girls was to find love before the 2020 Olympics. And that's such an impossible task that the Olympics had to get canceled.
They're like, we have to move it for these girls.
For these women. Wow, Annie. Sorry. Who's a real misogynist
here? Wait, what's the title of the series, Jeff?
Let's not talk about it. I think it's a bad localized title. It's so hard to spell.
Listen.
Should have been What If Women.
No, anyways.
Tower Aruba Girls.
Anyways, I'm still weaving it. Now that we've discussed it more, I'm still weaving it.
I appreciate that you're weaving it because now my decision doesn't actually matter. So I'm going to love it.
Oh my God. Fine. Okay. I gave you an out. So you can love it. I'll weave it. Check it out if you like hot dudes who spend a lot of money. If you hate rich people and cops like me, maybe don't.
Yeah. I think it's fulfilling a place in my heart that I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable watching shows like Brooklyn Nine-Nine now. And
yeah, me either.
This is kind of similar with feeling a little less problematic since it's not about US culture. And I enjoy the absurd Batman, Iron Man-esque aspects to it. And yeah, I don't hate the rich quite as much as Annie, so.
Then you're weak, Jeff. You're weak.
And when I think it through, I'm like, okay, yes, this guy is a complete asshole. Like in the real world, billionaires and trillionaires who have this much money and don't actively spend it on, like, don't actively spend the majority of their wealth on charitable causes are horrible people for still hoarding so much of their wealth.
Yes, I agree.
But it's like fiction and you need to like suspend disbelief and
No. I need this to be Well, it's hard to do that when they're really bringing up a kid who's like, my sister needs money to have surgery or she'll die. And he's like, yeah, I just blew like $40 million on a concert. So LMAO,
to distract
sure.
you for like a second.
Yeah.
I'm
so mad.
It's also just like, I think there are lots of ways in which the premise of the show falls down once you think about it. But if you don't think about it, like if... like that scenario where it's like, oh, this, it seems contrived for the scenario where it's like his main problem is he doesn't have money. Oh, look, we have a character whose entire shtick is they just have infinite money. And it's like, what would have happened if he weren't around? Like the cops would have shot him. Like this sucks to think about.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's not very comfortable, but it is, it's inherently a lighthearted, fun show about serious things. So it's always going to have that, awkwardness to it.
Yes, a lighthearted show about almost shooting a child, someone needing surgery, confiscating drugs and drug dealers, and a model overdosing.
Just look at the opening and look how fun it is. Like the car bursting through a wall.
There's a little too many naked ladies in that opening and like none in the actual show.
Oh, you didn't remind me of my discovery that I had to show you.
Oh, Jeff, you texted me saying you had a discovery. Let me remind you right now.
Hold on, let me find an image. So the thing I discovered is that the 2005 version of the show, the titular millionaire detective is a woman.
Ooh, more women cops.
Okay, but hot women cops? This seems like it would have been much more up your alley.
Yeah, that would have been, I would have been more conflicted about it. Because you know I like terrible women, and all cops are terrible, so...
Yeah, that's kind of like your penchant for bullies. It's like, okay, what if we made the bully rich and a cop? How much can we push it into you not liking them?
I know. It would have been probably a lot harder, but she also probably would have been funnier. Just like more enjoyable. I don't like the hair accessories going on here.
They're a little over the top. But yeah, it's. I assume the original novel version was a man. Because, you know, main character should always be a man.
The Times.
But, yeah, The Times in the 70s. So it's interesting that the first TV drama adaptation already, like, in the first version was flipping gender, which is something that I assume, like, I think of that only happening in, like, after the 30th Sherlock Holmes adaptation, you know?
Yeah. Ugh. Well, I'm weaving it. We did it. We're done.
The show's done. No more episodes.
No more. Well, there's more. I don't think I'll watch more. I think that's what's really, like, the thing for me is I won't watch more.
But you need to see the hair. I guess you already saw it.
Yeah, I already saw the hair. And it was pretty good. He did look good.
Yeah, this is something that I'm definitely going to keep trying to watch. But like, I definitely could see myself falling off after episode 6 and then just consuming the rest of the show via the highlights on Twitter.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling. I'll just watch Twitter react to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that like is more primed for Twitter bursts of excitement over individual moments or shots than they are actually great media experiences.
Yeah, just show me like a gif of them like fighting or like somebody showing up in a helicopter. Like, that's more fun for me.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you want to watch it and tell us that we're wrong, it's on Funimation now. But we're not wrong. We're right.
We've never been wrong, except for when Annie's wrong.
No. I just did admit to it earlier, but.
So before we close out the show, Annie, what do you want to recommend?
Okay, so I'm back with another K-drama.
No.
It's that, or I can say Dynamite's out August 21st. Please listen.
It's not. This episode's not going to be out August 21st, so.
Okay, well, it'll be out after, so stream Dynamite.
Well, what if this episode comes out? So I'm planning this episode to come out like the 25th. So Dynamite will have been out for a couple of days. What if it sucks and everyone hates it? Everyone's no. Like, oof, BTS is canceled. Like, oh, they're terrible now.
The teaser was already so good and it already went viral on TikTok. There's already a TikTok dance to it.
Everything's viral. Did you see the TikTok of the Japanese fisherman dancing?
Oh yeah, I did. It was cute.
He's really hot.
Okay, that's where we went in different directions.
I mean, it was a cute dance too, but
it was a cute dance. I felt like his head was a little too small for his body.
Okay, yeah, because his body had so many muscles.
Yeah, like, his body was really muscular. But anyways,
it was a cute face.
Can I recommend my K-drama or am I not allowed?
Yes.
Okay, so it's called Was It Love? And it's still airing on Netflix, which it has a very interesting like airing model, I guess. It has two episodes a week, but they're like one day after another. Like, so one's like yesterday and one's today. And like, that's weird to me. But
so that show, when I look at it on Netflix, is giving me, Netflix is saying it's a 69% match for me, which nice, but that's not a very high rating.
Okay, well, it's just not a match. It doesn't mean it's not good for you. But anyways, it's about this single mother, and her dream has always been to be a film producer, but she's been so busy being a single mom, like she hasn't been able to do it. Until now, when her boss is like, yeah, you can be a producer. And she's like, sick. And then he runs away. And it turns out he left her with like ₩1 billion debt. And she's like, I guess I'll pay for that by making this movie. And it's great, because then there's four handsome men that come into her life mysteriously, and it's, what's going to happen? Who knows? Not me.
She actually looks really pretty, huh?
Yeah. Again, I told you, I love stories about people in their 30s falling in love, and here I am. Except she seems very resistant to love, and she just wants to focus on her career and her child. And I'm like, yes, all right.
Wait, how old is her child that she's only in her 30s?
Well, she had her child when she was in her 20s, and her child's 14.
Oof.
Wow. Excuse you.
Well, that's just...
She too old, huh? You'd say old people can't find love?
No, it's just when I hear about people having kids, I'm like, oh, they're like so far ahead, or like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm running out of time to have kids.
No, no, no. You don't have to have them at 23 like her. Wow, that sounds so stressful.
I don't understand the logo for the series, like, is doing this like thing where the V in love and the W have this like curve. I don't understand why.
It's cute.
Debatable.
Listen, I don't get it either, but ooh, also, can I tell you? So her boss borrowed money from someone who seems like they're like in the mob or like a mobster. And I was like, okay, if she doesn't end up with this scary man, I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, when I searched for Was It Love, I got some other results that look pretty interesting. There's one called Together, T-W-O, Gether. I think it's just a funny title. Also, there's this one called Crash Landing on You. That sounds like a pretty interesting premise.
Yes! Jeff, haven't I told you about that one 1,000 times?
Oh, there's this one that has a really interesting premise called Itaewon Class.
Okay, you're just messing with me now. I got really excited because I thought you were genuinely interested.
I didn't expect you to be excited. I thought you expected you to be annoyed. So I was like, oh no,
I need to double down. I thought you had forgotten what I had... I got really excited.
Anyway, okay, I'm going to recommend much cooler than stupid K-drama crap. I'm going to recommend because, you know, America first, I'm going to recommend a podcast about the English language. It's the only real language that matters.
Oh my God.
So I had a podcast-shaped hole in my heart for years because there was a podcast I used to really love called Lexicon Valley, and it was about the English language and like following like trends and interesting history of grammatical concepts and words and stuff. Just general word stuff, I guess. And it was from Slate/Panoply. I'm not sure what the current state of it is, because basically it was really interesting and it was like a conversation between two people almost every episode. And then it like changed formats, or like the host left and got replaced by a new person who I think they were a professor of some sort. And it was just became a solo kind of like monologue. And this new guy who came in, just every episode ended up being about like old Hollywood movies and how words had changed pronunciation since those Hollywood movies. And it's like, okay, after like the 50th episode of like how in this old black and white movie they said a word differently than now, like I'm just not that interested. It's the same thing every episode. So there's this new podcast called Word Matters from the team of editors of the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and it's very cool. And I mean, Merriam-Webster Dictionary, I mainly know because of being the most online. Like they have the best social media team and are generally like on top of things in socially and politically active ways. So it's cool. The podcast only launched like a week ago and only has like 4 episodes, but they were all really interesting and they do with pretty interesting concepts. So you should go listen to it if you have any interest in words and how words have evolved. And
not me.
Everyone should be interested in words. I don't know. I am someone who liked being a grammar stickler as a kid because it gave me power over adults, because I could point them out as being wrong. And now as I've gotten older, I'm like, okay, it's all that matters is that you're an effective communicator. And I think this is one of the things that the podcast does a good job of reinforcing, that it's like a lot of things people hold up as like being this hard, you know, like extremely steadfast rule you must apply. It's like, no, that's not been a rule. Like that, there are so many exceptions that the people who insist on those rules don't know about and don't, like, that they selectively are hypocritical about and stuff. So like one of the things I like to joke about is people say regardless, and I'm like, you mean irregardless? And I love how that upsets people who think that irregardless shouldn't be a word. And it's like, there are many words like that, apparently. Like it's very common to use a prefix like ear to mean emphasis and not to mean negative.
Oh.
Like you can thaw something, you can unthaw something. It's not the opposite, it's just emphasis. So
that's interesting and also annoying. The English language sucks.
The English language does suck, but it's interesting to see all the ways in which it sucks pointed out.
Oh, can I tell you a thing that is bothering me about English and other languages?
No.
Okay, well, too late. So you know how in English, if I were to say like, oh, you don't like coffee, and you'd say like, no, I don't like coffee, or something like, if you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
In like, in Japanese, it's like, I'd be like, yes, I don't like coffee.
Right, like Japanese is very logical. Like it's like, you are agreeing or disagreeing with the statement itself, not with the sentiment.
And it's the same in Korean too. And now I'm just like, every time someone's like, oh, you don't like that, right? And I'll be like, right. I'm trying to replace it with like correct or like right. So it's like a positive, like I'm agreeing. I'm like, they'll be like, right? And I'll be like, right. I don't like that.
You should be like, factual statement.
Factual statement. That is true. I agree.
I mean, the way to avoid ambiguity there is just to say the whole sentence like, yes, I don't like coffee, or no, I don't like coffee.
Yeah, but like, damn.
I mean, people will still find it can, people will still be like kind of thrown off guard if you do the opposite. Like if I said, you don't like coffee, and then you said,
yes.
Yeah, I don't like coffee. I'd be like, that sounds a little weird, but I understand what you're saying.
It works though. Like, why is that not, like, why does it sound weird to us? Because like, it does still work to me if someone's like, oh, you don't like that. And I'll be like, yeah, I don't like that.
Because we're responding to the sentiment, not the logic. So that's like the idiosyncrasies in language I find interesting, because they evolve because language is not a highly prescripted, rule-based, hyperlogical thing. It's like it's a bunch of people just coming to a consensus on things. So there's going to be weirdness to that.
English sucks. Stan a different language. bye. That's all I have to say.
Leave a review for Love It a Wee Bit in your favorite podcast app using whatever language you prefer over English.
Yeah, no reviews in English, please, starting now.
And send us your listener pick for the season at loveitawebit@gmail.com or on Twitter at loveitawebit.
Yeah, or at me. No, not at me. You can send them to me at any other name.
Yeah, don't spam Twitter handle at me, who is the official account of main.com. Tweets by Teddy. Who's Teddy?
I don't know. Good for him, though.
Someone who tweets by at Teddy, and then Teddy, they're profile just says Mainer, like someone who lives in Maine, I guess.
They stan the city of, or the city, the state, the state, the state. Sorry, there's got to be a city named Maine.
It's really just a state of mind, really. Anyway, I'm at Jeff and Lee Jeff. I wish I were at me, but I missed that boat. Join us next week as we cover The Great Pretender, which should have already been dropped on Netflix by the time you're listening to this. Bye.
I hate you, bye.
And as we always say, anime cops are bastards too. when it's something like women look at a scene in media and they're like, this is gross and sexist, but then gay guys are like, no, this is fun. And I'm like, who should I really trust in this situation?
I mean, depends on which people from which group are saying it. All right, I watched the part I hadn't seen earlier. They did an interview at USA Today today. Fuck, I hate that name.
USA Today today.
That's correct. That's the name of the show.
No, the name of the show is USA Today. What are you talking about?
Then I watched it today. It was on USA Today today.
That would be a great podcast recapping USA Today.
USA Today today. Welcome.
No, you have to pronounce it USA Today today.
Today.
Okay.
All right. Are we going to do our podcast now instead of USA Today today?
Welcome to the official only USA Today today recap podcast.
The only USA Today fan cast. Welcome. I don't even know anything about USA Today.
No, I don't either, but it would be a great name.
Where is it even?
USA.
I'm going to set all of us on fire. Actually, I don't need to. California's already on fire.
Let's go.
Okay, I'm ready. Are you? Okay, you're ready.
Hello or welcome to Love It and Weeb It.
Okay, I'm doing this. It's my turn.
It's always your turn.
Oh, yeah.
I want to show you the design for her character in that Digimon video game in Cyber Sleuth, because I am curious what you think about that design.
Am I going to hate it?
So this is Kyoko Kuremi, she runs the detective agency Jeffrey, the character joins.
She is in her underwear with an unbuttoned button down. Goggles for God knows why.
This is her professional attire as a detective.
A very loosely tied sash upon her torso. Gloves. Because she's got to be safe and protected on just her hands, apparently. And then her shoes don't make any damn sense.
Oh, yeah. She has high heels on, but they're, like, open in the
Yes. They only front. Have the heel and, like, the like part that covers your toes and then the back of your leg. It doesn't make any sense.
They look more like ankle, not handcuffs, but, like, ankle cuffs.
Okay, why are you sending me pictures of her getting, like, holding a spot for you in the car?
She wants you to get in the car.
Get in the car. Wear her gloves. She's not going to be safe.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah. The character designs for that Digimon game are
scandalous.
They look good, but like, oh my God, the female designs are just pretty gross. Like they all have like, they're like open in the chest.
What are you showing me? This girl is wearing a hoodie that is only zipped at the very bottom, at the neck, and then has her like swimsuit top out.
Right. It's just like opened up around her chest and it's just like, here, look at my chest.
Yeah. And it doesn't even fit. And then she's wearing like booty shorts with like thigh high socks and boots. And I hate this girl. I don't hate her. I hate the society that has forced her into this.
So this is Rina. She was in like, I forget which, some Digimon game and like was so popular they kept pulling her forward into each other Digimon game as they came out. So
I can't with you in these. Okay, and next week we're going to cover Mr. Love Queen's Choice.
Why did it? No, we're doing Great Pretender.
No, we can't because it's not out until the 27th.
What? No, it's usually on the 20th.
I think it's the 27th.
I definitely looked at the schedule before coming up with this. They delay it?
Oh, maybe you're right.
It says coming Thursday, which is tomorrow, which, hold on.
Okay,
let me do
fine. We're doing Great Pretender. Math.
So like 19 plus 1, carry the 2, add the 3, subtract
I'm
by gonna
2. I'm going to hang up this call.
Right by, oh yeah, the 20th. Yeah, okay. Boop, boop, boop. And as we always say, anime cops are bastards too.
That's an original one from us. Wow.
From our hearts to your ears. All right, I'm going to go edit last week's episode.
And eat a salad.
In front of my salad?
Oh my God. I'm going to go watch In the Soup.
Delete. I don't know what that is and I don't want to know. Goodbye.